Hello, everybody. Good evening. How are we, Terry? Kira?
Good. We're back talking AFLW again this week, so it's exciting. Everyone's got their final tickets. It's all happening.
It is all happening. How are you, Tez?
Mate, up and about. There's a lot going on. It's just there's a vibe around the football club in general.
There truly is. Speaking of the club, I am actually here tonight up on this side. Oh. I am here at the banner night for AFLW. I did mention last week that I'll try and do the show here this week. That's why we're here early at 6 p.m. because I believe they're doing AFL Awards at 7. So we don't want to clash with that. Most of you will probably notice we actually have new branding on our show. We are now known as the BAW show. Let that one out. Over the last little bit, and some exciting news today that we have official sponsor now. Thank you heaps to the Carlton Cheer Squad for proudly sponsoring this show. It's been an absolute busy day getting graphics and everything all sorted, but we can officially announce that they are our official sponsor of the show, and we also are on Spotify now, which is incredible. So if you don't get to listen to us live tonight, you can go back and listen to us on Spotify. And while we're here, you might as well give the Blue Abroad channel a like and subscribe on YouTube.
It's all happening.
It is. I think timing's everything. And to be fair, the Cheer Squad have been asking to like do something together with the channel for years. I was always a bit uncomfortable with the whole notion of taking something from the Cheer Squad, but then just got to a point, and I think when we started talking about doing this and changing it to BAW, I was like, okay, who is the group that supports the W program, you know, more than most, or, you know, especially with the foundations? So it just makes a lot of sense. And I think timing's everything, and I think we've timed it impeccably. And look at us. Look at you two. You're a sponsor, mate. Wow.
How exciting is that? I've known about it for a while, that we've been trying to somehow, as a Cheer Squad, sponsor the Blue Abroad channel as a whole. So the fact that, you know, like, it was a no-brainer for the committee to agree to it. So I'm truly thankful for everyone who is downstairs currently that were part of the decision-making process. But no, it's huge because, yeah, the Cheer Squad, we're here pretty much every game, full support of the AFLW program at the Blues, so it just made sense. So thank you once again to the Cheer Squad for jumping on board this exciting new chapter as the BAW show.
It's got a good ring to it, doesn't it?
I was just about to say, can we discuss the ring, the look? It just works. It feels right.
It does. It does. And why not? Let's just kick it straight off and we'll kickstart the show.
I will have that one fixed as well. There's just too much to do in a day, right? But I will have that one fixed for next week. It's on the list.
You're a busy man.
Totally busy. The boss has too much to do.
The boss has too much to do. I love it. And I just want to note the new tee that has come out from the club. Tez is wearing it.
Yeah, there's lots of comments about it.
I love it. And the scarves that we actually have scarves made that says Stronger Together as well. We were showing them off in the Cheer Squad on the weekend, on Sunday during the start. It was great.
Oh, I am a staff girl that has made my night.
Great. Love it. Well, let's just go straight into it. Round one has come around so fast. I remember doing a 50-day countdown on the Instagram. Give us a like on the Instagram as well. Set that one up as well. But no, it's come around so quickly. And I spoke to Moore today and she's really excited. They are ready to go as a group. They've done all the hard work over the winter to get ready for this, and I'm truly ready to go for Saturday. It's going to be a big day here at Icon Park.
On that note, can I just commend Carlton? They've used some incredible brains, and they've planned Saturday so well. Like, I'm proud of the club. I was looking at the schedule today and I was like, you've hit the nail on the head here. Open training in the morning, then they've got that massive group photo just before the AFLW game starts, which entices people to stay, and then the AFLW game. So kudos to the club, because they've planned that day really well.
They really have, and it's probably smart marketing, because they'll be able to have the cafe open earlier, they'll be have the shop open earlier, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited for that group photo. Fans, the AFL and the AFLW. That's going to be a good-looking photo.
Going to be an absolute ripper. Are you coming along, Tez, on Saturday?
Mate, I'll be there with bells on. And a ribbon.
I'm actually, I'll pay to see that.
Yeah, me too. I'll bring a bow.
I'll be there. I think, you know what? I think also, which is crucial. I mean, obviously there's an AFLW program, and like it's a different league to, you know, the men's program. But I think just to continue on with what you said, Kira, just to make it a day, it's a Carlton day. You know, you've got the men in the morning with the training, you've got the women in the afternoon with round one. I think it's just such an opportunity to get a lot of people, first of all, just to the club and, you know, just hanging out, socializing. And I guess my hope is that the W can just put on a really good showing and really, you know, have a crack, because I think first impressions, you never get a second chance at a first impression. And I think this group have that opportunity. This is a brand new team, essentially. And it just to make an imprint on someone who's going to be there who wouldn't otherwise be there on Saturday, like, it's really exciting for them.
Can the club just clip that and just play it? That's the pre-game hype, because that's what they need. That's absolutely what they need to be told, is that this is your opportunity to make an impression on the average Carlton fan that would otherwise not come and watch you. And you can get them back every game for the rest of the season, because that's what our fans do. But you've got to do the hard yards first, and you've got to get them attached to the team. And the only way to do that is to put a really good foot forward on the game on Saturday.
That's right. And it's a fantastic start, because we've seen the last couple of seasons it hasn't been as, you know, great on the field. And it's shown in the stands, and we mentioned it last week. So if we can find a way, or the club can find a way to bring the people in and keep them here on Saturday, it's a great start. And then the rest of it is up to the girls on the field. Like, so we do our part, we come. Their turn to do their part and put on a show. And we can only go off what vibe they bring. If we bring the noise, we bring the vibe, it'll lift. Like, it'll be scenes if we win round one.
Spot on.
It will be scenes.
Oh my gosh. My heart's like doing backflips even thinking about that. Like, imagine our week if we've gone from buying finals tickets, AFLW get a win. Then we have the whole week waiting game to the final, and then I don't even want to think about that yet. So it's just going to be a chaotic few weeks, but it's all up to the girls, as we said. So fingers crossed. Gold Coast aren't the worst team to be matching up against first.
There's
harder opponents. Don't get me wrong, they gave us an absolute bath last season, but there is harder opponents to be coming up against. So we absolutely can get the win. We just need to put our heads down and work really hard.
That's right. And it all starts pretty much, this weekend. It's going to be phenomenal. And we actually have a brand new player that's come on board in the last 24
hours. Can you talk to us about it?
Sure. I actually know this girl really well. I hired her.
Before we get there, I just want to point out something, two things.
Yeah.
Number one, someone's watching from New Zealand.
She was watching last week as well. Welcome back, Kate.
We love that. And I think this is a serious possibility for Saturday.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, my God. Let's go. Let's get
that
in.
Is seriously scary. But you know what? There's something really beautiful in that, that, yeah, maybe 95% of the people coming on Saturday are there for the open training session initially, but there's something really beautiful in that and something to be said that it's going back to the start of when it was a lockout for the first AFLW game. It's just a bit of a full circle moment, like let's just restart, let's build some excitement from the ground up. And Terry spoke about it heaps last week, but it does really feel like a fresh slate. So if it's a lockout on Saturday, that is genuinely just a full circle moment of starting this again kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of just like reiterates the whole starting afresh, doesn't it? Like
absolutely.
Very first ever game of Carlton with a lockout. Can you imagine off the back of the boys having such a successful season to date, rocking up and having another lockout? Like brand new coach, new players, new structure, new game plan. Let's pack the place out. Because
absolutely.
We haven't got anywhere else to be this weekend. Be here. Mm-hmm. Why not come to the place that makes you the happiest?
Yeah.
Because we are stronger together.
Correct. I'd need to pay us because we are just like pumping out that brand for them. It's fantastic. But looping back around to our new player, her name is says Kiara, but it's actually spelt well pronounced Kira. So it's Kira Fitzgerald. She was on Richmond's list back in 2020, and she played one AFL game for them. But she went back and played VFLW for North Melbourne for the last couple of years, and she will be named in the VFLW Team of the Year. She is a very, very quick defender. You guys would have seen the little clip that the club put in. Strong overhead, really good at delivering the football, something that we really definitely need. She'd be a real good addition to the back line. And, she is part of my team at AFL Vic. So when I saw it pop up yesterday, I sent her a message straight away going, thanks for telling me. She goes, I wanted it to be a surprise because she knows how much I love Carlton and how much I love AFLW. So shout out to her. I did tag her on the BAW show Instagram and then I messaged her straight away telling her that it was me. She's really excited to get started. And I think she was here training yesterday with the girls. So really, really good addition for Lulu Beattie because Lulu's out for the season. So Kiara's on a contract until the end of the season.
I'm really excited.
So does that mean she could play this week or like straight in be selected? Like, is that how it works?
I don't think she'll get picked for round one, given that it's a few days away and she hasn't really had time to train with the team. So I reckon she'll be featured this year. Just it'll be a matter of when, I reckon.
Okay.
Because she could be if we wanted her to. I'm pretty sure. Like, there's no rules around us not picking her.
No, there's no rules around us not picking her. She's a list replacement player, so she can definitely be selected because she's in place of Lulu. So Lulu would have been able to be available for selection had she'd still be around. So it's really exciting for her getting a second chance at the AFLW level because we actually had a conversation about 2 weeks ago around what she was looking at doing and she wanted to shop around BFLW teams. So, it's really exciting for her that she gets to have this second chance at an AFLW contract. So I'm looking forward to watching her in the navy blue.
It's exciting because we spoke last week pretty in depth about our lack of speed and how we really want some speed. So initially I was a bit confused because I really, although we, you know, replaced defender, I thought we would probably go for a forward just because we lacked that so badly last season. But in terms of the speed component to her game, we absolutely need that. And it's something we touched on so much last week. So really excited for what she can bring to the back line in terms of moving it forward and not getting stuck in the back line. So that's really exciting, I think.
Yeah, and, no, really keen.
And whoever's asking, Sandra, yes, Shannon's at Princess Park.
yeah, I've got the ground in the background just here, and it's a beautiful turf, I must say. So it's looking schmick for when the girls jump out on the weekend. But yeah, no. Let's revisit, Kira. I know we had a quick discussion. Let's revisit the last time we played the Gold Coast Suns, which was last season. You've prepared some lovely notes. How about you just give us a bit of a rundown of what happened last time we met?
So I went back today just to look at the last time we met and wrote down some notes, some key numbers and things like that, and it was not pretty. So let's just put that out there to start with. We lost by quite a bit. So we lost 42-15. We only kicked 2 goals in the entire game. So not a great game for us. Our efficiency inside 50 was 18% to their 35%, and clearances were 25-14. We got absolutely destroyed by Charlie Rowbottom, who had 26 disposals, 5 clearances and 6 tackles. So she did feature in their practice match last week. So I would say she will be playing again on the weekend, and that's someone we really need to keep our eye on, because we just let her loose last time we played her and she absolutely destroyed us. So someone we have to really keep an eye on. And again, we've mentioned it so many times, but they had 5 individual goal kickers. We had 2. And of their 5, some were multiple. So I think the main bits that we need to fix up from last game is our efficiency inside 50, our goal kicking, and putting some effort into their key players, because it was individuals that broke us last year in our game against them. But overall, they finished 9th, so they were knocking on 8th. They're not a bad team by any means. Yeah, let's hope it's not the same result, because that was ugly. But in saying that, they did lose their practice match 50-2. So hopefully we might be seeing a little bit of a different team. I'm not sure. They did play 7 recruits, so they're playing a little, like they're blooding a lot of new players. But yeah, our clearances and our inside 50s are what we really lacked against them last time and what absolutely killed us.
I think we lacked everything last time we played them.
Yeah.
But no, that kind of summarizes it pretty accurately, that our efficiency overall last season probably wasn't the greatest. And we spoke about it at length, week in, week out. Just the fact that we couldn't move the ball forward. Like, we'd get it out of defense, no problem. We'd hit a target up in the wing, and we just couldn't get it forward to center.
Then hit the wing and go back and do it all again.
Pretty much. So it's going to be interesting to see how we structure up against them. And I know because Charlie Rowbottom's she's built pretty well. Like, so she's built for football, and she's definitely one of those ones that we need to watch, because she was, I think, number one pick. So you're not number one pick for no reason.
No.
But, yeah, no. It's going to be interesting to see how we line up. What are your thoughts, Terry?
I have some questions. That's what I have, because I don't know much about the Gold Coast Suns. I know only a little bit more about our group. My first question is, who's in our leadership group? Do we have a leadership group? Like, I know Kez is captain.
Yep, we do have a leadership group. When were they named, Kira? I can't remember.
Yeah, not long ago. Kez, captain. Mim is vice.
Yep.
Co-vice. There's another co-vice that I don't know who it is off the top of my head. But Mim is co-vice, and then we have a captain, and I'm pretty sure that's all. I'm pretty sure we stripped it back, because we did have a really big one. I could be making this up, but I'm pretty sure we did have quite a large leadership group, and we've decided to take it back to just your normal captain, co-vice. Are you Googling too?
Yeah, I think Abby McKay has actually been elevated into the leadership group for the first time as well. I'm just reading it. I'm just having a quick look on the website now.
So even maybe to broaden that question away from like the named leadership group, who are, would in your opinion, you know, the senior players that we can rely on week to week? I feel like there's probably 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah. Darcy Vesio is definitely the first one that comes to mind.
When we play them in the forward line, please.
Leave them. Oh, yeah, what is that?
Sorry, I'm very passionate about this topic. let's not play them in the back line this year, please. Like, yeah. We're already lacking forward. Let's keep them forward.
Yeah. So we got Gab Pound, Bree Moody, I'd say Darcy Vessio, Jess Del Poz, Mua Lelawifi, Abby McKay. They're kind of more our senior players.
Right.
And there's a lot of youth going through there, and obviously Kez, of course, being the captain again. So, yeah, you're right. There's about seven or eight players that are who you'd put down as leaders who have been in the system for a number of years now, and the expectation is that they would be the ones to lead the group forward.
Yeah. And, I mean, I feel like we are a team this year who has not the worst top line, Maybe a pretty good top line of players. And yeah. I think it's crucial. I mean, nobody wants injuries. Everybody wants health. Everybody wants good luck. But I feel like we are a team this year that really can't afford to lose too many of these eight or so players who have been in the system for long, because it kind of drops off a long way with experience, you know?
Absolutely. It's like here to down here. Like, there is just no gradual fall. It is literally our seniors and then, I don't want to say babies, teenagers. They've just finished high school. Like, that's what we're working with.
Like, literally just looking at the list, like, I'm just on the webpage now. Like, Keely Skepper, Talia Reid, Annie Lee, Jess Good, Lulu Beattie, Mariana Anthony, Chloe Wrigley, Dana Finn, Maddie Guerin, Erin Fitzpatrick, Lily Goss, Mia Austin, Daisy Walker, Brooke Vickers, Keely Sharar, Paige Trudgeon. They're all young. Imogen Milford, Taylor Ortlip, Genevieve Lawson, like Maddie Hendry. Like, you've got Phoebe McWilliams, who you can add into that list of experience. You can add Harriet Cordner, who's come into the team from Richmond, who has been around football for a long time as well. So you can add her to the list of players that are experienced. But it's a bigger list of inexperienced players than it is experienced players, in my opinion.
Right.
I've got our leaders. I've got, so captain is Karen. Then our co-vice are Jess Del Poz and Mimi Hill. And then Darcy Vessio, Abby McKay and Breen Moody are leaders.
Yeah.
So our captain, two co-vice and then three leaders sitting under them.
So, yeah, it's a broad range of inexperienced as opposed to our top tier players that we would put in the experienced column in terms of leadership out on the field. And it's probably one thing that we were lacking last year is the leaders stepping up. And we've said this across in the men's system as well, at periods where we were low and we were asking for, especially the second half of last year, we were asking for leaders to step up.
Absolutely.
So it's one thing that we're going to need this year is leaders to step up.
Which I think we spoke about it a little bit last week as well, but I think that then comes down to the really young players stepping up and being that leader, because the senior players have been so enriched in a culture that hasn't been amazing and losing the past few seasons that we really need the young ones to come up and lift them up to then change the standards of what the leaders were setting. Like, I'm not blaming it on the leaders by any means, but they were part of the team that had a losing culture for the last few seasons. So we really need the young blood and the young athletes who don't know any different. They don't know losing from winning yet. They don't know Carlton yet. So we really need them to set the standards, because it's the lower end talent and the younger athletes that will then bring us to the next level, because it's the little 1% is not what, you know, our big leaders are doing necessarily.
Right, that's true. Just quickly, I know we haven't touched on this yet, but there are actually some rule changes this year.
Yes.
That was my next question.
Oh, is it the rule changes? Oh, I read your mind.
Yeah,
just flicking through now, I know that they were talking about some rule changes earlier in the conversation, so I'm just having a quick look.
I think on that, while you're working out the rule changes to tell us, I think just quickly, with Laura Kane moving into the position that she's just moved on to, if you don't know, she's a friend of the channel. She's got an episode way back. You can find her episode in the hub. Go watch that after you finish watching.
The first interview in existence with Laura Kane is on this channel.
There we go, guys.
I flicked her a message last night on WhatsApp and I got a response this morning. So.
I really recognised the communication coming from the AFL, and I think Laura has a large role to play in this. In all the interviews that she has done in the last week, it has been a split 50-50 of her focus on the AFLW and AFL. And that's something that I really, really recognise from all the communication, all the press, AFL 360 interviews. Like, she's most wanted, everyone wants to talk to her this week. But that's something that I've really noticed, a change in communication of the split focus. And I think everyone always associates the executive general manager of football with the men's competition. And I think this is the first time that I've heard the manager speak about it as a split role. And I've been very impressed with that.
Oh, she is an incredible human being and she deserves every accolade, everything that comes her way, because she has worked her ass off to get into this position. And I was listening to you and Pom earlier from BA Monday, and what you said was spot on. Like, she is an incredible human being and she has worked her ass off to get into this position that she's in. And I could not think of a better person to look after both men's and women's football.
Yeah, no, spot on. I think anyone who questions the appointment really just needs to spend 30 seconds with Laura Kane. It all makes sense straight away. I think we as fans can look at things a little bit short-sightedly because we don't have the perspective of what it actually takes to run not a club, not a series of clubs, and not one league, but two leagues, like the entire competition. So it really does require a high level of ability to handle pressure, because think about day-to-day what happens in this league, in this sport, from a drama perspective. You've got so many human beings on a list. They're young, they make mistakes. Like, think about all of the things that can come into you as a, you know, general manager of the league in one single day. So your ability to sift through and handle the pressure is really something that doesn't get spoken about enough. I think people look at it too much on the surface. So there's that. And I think the other thing that needs to be credited, and this is something that I was probably a little unsure and critical of at the time, but obviously, you know, we've brought in more clubs and we've gotten to a point where for the AFLW, we've got 18 clubs. And I think it hurt in the short term because we lost players. But when you think about it, for, you know, a decade from today, two decades, and I guess the future of the sport, the sooner we got to a level playing field where everyone was at the starting line of 18 clubs, now we can start, like, you know, it's almost like a brand new comp again. And we don't need to worry too much about bringing in too many other teams next season and draft concessions and pools being tainted and things like that. So look, it's a remarkable job and it's hard to sometimes look at things big picture, but we're here, 18 clubs, we start.
Right. And looping back around, I found the rule changes. But no, just to round that off, she is in the best possible role because she is just, yeah, like you said, 30 seconds chatting to her, you know that she is just so well spoken. So
yeah.
super proud to be associated with her. She is an incredible human. So
we will move on in 30 seconds, but I'm not even going to lie. I fully nearly started crying at Marvel when I refreshed Twitter and saw the rumour that it was about to be announced. Like, I was just so proud. And, like, from a perspective of, like, you know, women in sport and things like that, like, she said how proud she was of the moment. But I think, you know, that's a role that's, like, not playing, not coaching, nothing. That is the role. That is the only up from that is the CEO, which I hope one day she's the first female CEO of the league, which
fingers crossed.
It's just a great step forward for the AFL and just moving away from that boys club, which we've tried so hard to get away from it for so long. And I think now we're finally at a point where it's happening now. We're not talking about it happening, like, it's actually happening. But anyway, rule changes.
That's okay. I think it kind of loops into the conversation anyway, because these rule changes came from the AFL. So they're extending the quarters by 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going from 15 to 17 minutes. Three-quarter time breaks will be reduced by 30 seconds. I don't know what effect that's going to have. halftime has been cut back from 16 minutes to 14 minutes. Again, don't really know why that's a thing. They've introduced the first interchange caps. So teams are restricted to 60 rotations per game.
Wow.
And that'll, yeah, that, I think, funny enough, I think Laura actually said this to us at a conference I was at that she was talking at. And it's to keep your best players on for longer. It's to help showcase AFLW a little bit more, having the best players on the park. Boundary umpires will now throw the ball in 10 metres inside the boundary line when the ball goes out of play between the 50-metre arcs. The last touch out of bounds rule remains between the arcs. And runners are now restricted to 3 trips onto the ground per quarter for 90 seconds at a time until the final 3 minutes of each turn.
Yeah.
So they're not, as far as rule changes go, they're not going to affect the game too bad. Like they're not, it's not like you're changing it to a stand rule or taking the stand rule out, that sort of thing. It doesn't affect what the umpires do on the ground. It's more of the clubs and how they manage their rotations a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah. So I listened to Nicole Livingston last night talk about it, and just to, for Pop Smoke, who's asking about the low scoring in the AFLW, I think it's a very immature question to ask and a short-sighted question to ask. I think where we need to be is thinking about things from a bigger picture. We're so accustomed to the men's league, and it's been around for over 100 years. So it's developed, you know, it's developed. This is new. So I think there is an importance to stop comparing the two leagues, because you just can't. And then I think with these rule changes, from what Nicole Livingston was saying, is that it's designed to increase the scoring. You introduce fatigue into the game because you're on the field a little bit longer, and therefore the ball's a little bit more live. I think also having the throw-ins 10 metres inside the boundary keeps the ball in play. So, I mean, we'll see.
Well, they actually have it in most local leagues where the umpires come in that 10 metres to throw the ball in, because 9 times out of 10, the ruckman would, if it was on from the boundary, the ruckman would just tap it straight back over the boundary line and we'd have a repeat stoppage. So bringing it in 10 metres allows for the ball to enter the corridor a little bit quicker. The ball movement will be quicker, like we spoke about last week. And in terms of Pop Smoke's question as to why A4W is low scoring, yes, girls don't kick as far as boys. Like Charlie Curno can kick 70 metres. I can kick probably 35 on a good day. I don't have the same power in my legs. Girls don't have the same power in their legs to be able to project the ball far.
They can train as much as they like. They can train the exact same training regime and they will never be able to kick the ball as far because it's...
No, it's impossible.
I don't know what the word is.
Women are built the same as men. Facts. And our accuracy for goal is never going to be the same as men. Facts. It's going to take time for the scoring to
progress.
You know, get more. And making the ground smaller is not going to make a difference, unfortunately. It's really not. And that's just a kick in the teeth to women's football, saying that let's just make the ground smaller because, you know, they're littler. That's just not on. I'm not going to have that.
What about, I don't know how it evolves, but does the game eventually get to a point where we add players onto the field to make it 18 on 18? Is that like the pathway, do you think it'll stay at where it is now?
Well, I play 18 on 18 in my local league, so so we play 18 on 18 or 16 on 16 depending on how many players turn up on the day, but I would like to see another 2 players added to the game, but I'm guessing they're having 60 from, oh, the lights are going off here. Hang on.
Oh, wow.
They want you to leave. Moved.
Hang on a sec.
I think I would personally like to see 18. And I think I have no idea. Obviously, I don't work in AFL House, but I would say it probably just has something to do with the talent pool at the moment. We are struggling to have a competitive, 18 teams at the moment. Yeah. So I think adding 2 more players to every team would be a lot at the moment. So I think we just need to wait for the stocks of professional AFLW athletes to grow, and then we can take that step forward of adding more players on the ground. That's what I'd assume the pathway is.
Yeah. I just ask, want to answer this question real quick. Junior football, no, they play on full-size grounds, junior footballers. So that makes no difference if you make the ground smaller. The ground size makes no difference. It just means that we have to take a few extra kicks to get it further. And having the 16 players on the field kind of eliminates the congestion of the football. I'm guessing that's probably why they don't have the extra two on there currently. So once the game does get quicker, like what we've been speaking about, probably we'll be able to introduce the two new players. Mm. So yeah. I think it's just a congestion thing at the moment because, I don't know.
And looking at the – sorry, go, Tess.
I was just going to say, I think, firstly, Pop Smoke, thanks for being here. It's great to have you. And I think I'm going to assume you're young. And I think it's hard to get to this point. But the way I read what's happening with the W program and the league is we got to stop looking short-sighted. We've got to start looking a little bit more long-term. And it can be difficult, especially if you're young. But think of things a little less in the short term and think about the W program as like it's long term. Like we're less than a decade into a league being played, you know? So I think that's if you can get there, then I think a lot more will make sense. I think we have to slowly get there. And I think Pop Smoke's doing great on just like trying to be here and be educated. So there's that.
It's just that we're educating them on how it actually how we see it. And he said he asked for a female's perspective, and I've given it. So I appreciate you being here and asking the question, because not many people would be brave enough to sit here and ask that kind of question. So thank you for asking the question.
I think another thing is possibly if you're looking at the ground being smaller, helping one issue of less goals being kicked, it also enhances another issue we have, and that's the ball being so congested. It's already really congested on a large size ground. If we make the ground smaller, we're putting more players in a smaller space, and that's already an issue which we're trying to move away from. So really it's just fixing a problem and enhancing another problem, and that's what sport is. Sport is all about balancing problems, because you're never going to be able to have the perfect product, but I think that's where we're at the moment in terms of the ground.
Mm. Yeah, no, totally, totally respect that. And I play on full size grounds. And like going back to what you mentioned, Terry, about taking away the notion that they're the same game, I feel like there's people out there that don't like AFLW, and that's fine. But if you don't like it, just don't comment on it. You don't need to say that you don't like it. Like, that's fine. Like, just don't watch it. Don't make a comment about it, because there are people out there that really love the game, and we don't want to compare it, like you mentioned. We've mentioned it so many times. The comparison just doesn't need to happen. It just doesn't need to happen, because it just doesn't make sense to me that people are going, well, why aren't they high scoring like the men's? Well, it's a completely different game to the men's. Like, it's Australian rules football, yes. The rules are the same, yes, but it's just it's played completely differently. Like, the skill level is not where the men's are. Like, if you're going to compare it, you can compare it to when football first started all those many years ago, where it was congested and the skills weren't what they are today. Give it 100 years of women playing football, and I guarantee you the skills are going to be just as good, if not better.
Yeah. I think what we've just said about thinking short term and long term probably applies to the perception as well. Because if you go back to when they announced that they were even going to do this as a league, the pushback then compared to the pushback now, I would argue, is it just gets less and less and less. And I think the more and more we have the league, the less and less the pushback will come. It's too late for pushback. Like, it's here. So, I mean, I won't lie. I didn't watch much of season one, not much of season two. Season three, when I came back home, I'm like, all right, I'll get into it. It was like a social thing for me, hanging out with friends and my sister and things like that. So I think there's just patience needed on all fronts, including the public kind of perception. But I think where the line gets drawn is the derogatory stuff against women playing and things like that. I just think that's it's funny. The old generation will say, oh, you kids of today have no respect. And then they'll be the ones that actually gave birth to us and raised us and will, you know, it's that old male, that old school male, you know, fucking, it's that. And I think
boys play football kind of mentality. Is that where we're going with that?
Well, let's be honest. They'll die. They'll be dead in 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's true. Years.
So we'll get there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I'll say it quickly because we'll be wrapping up soon before the premiere of a very exciting video at 6:50. But I just wanted to loop around quickly to the rules. And something that I really noticed is that with the rule changes they've put in place is the fact that everyone is going to have to be fitter. They've made quarters longer and the breaks shorter. So, and capped how many times you can go off the field. So really all that's equating to is you have to be fitter. So I'm glad upon reflection that Terry mentioned how much they were running last week at training, how much he noticed that, because that is going to be so crucial. And that's going to separate the good teams from the bad teams and the bad teams from the even worse teams, because, you know, you're having shorter breaks, longer quarters, you need to run. You need to be able to run well. Right.
Yep, definitely. And just going back to this Saturday's game, I believe teams will be announced probably tomorrow. We'll see what comes of that. It's really exciting just thinking about it. I wish the girls and Bucky all the best for round one. We'll all be here cheering them on. What are your predictions? We'll start with you, Kira. What's your prediction for this weekend?
I'm going to say we're going to win. We are going to start this clean slate on the best possible foot. We're going to win by 3 goals. And we're just going to have fun. It's going to be a really fun day. We're going to smile a lot. And us three will look at each other at the end of the day and say, yeah, let's get this season cracking. That's my hope for the day. I don't know if that's a prediction or a hope, but I'm going to roll with that.
What about you, Tez? What are your predictions for the weekend?
Oh, it's hard to make predictions because I'll be honest, I don't know much about the team apart from 7 or 8 players. But I go there with one expectation. And that is that there's going to be a big crowd. I think this might be one of the biggest crowds that they have for the season, given the way it's worked out. And we've got, you know, the open training for the men in the morning and things like that. But I think my expectation this week is that they bring that defensive application for 4 quarters, no matter what. They're going to make mistakes. It's not going to be pretty. Yeah. They have no synergy as a group just yet. There's probably only a handful of them that have played together for long enough. So there'll be mistakes and things of that nature, but I mean, we watched it last year and like you saw the intention collectively, it just wasn't there. So as long as that, you know, intensity defensively to tackle and have a crack and that's all there, I think the rest will take care of itself. And I know it's one game. Well, I know it's one game, but I feel like a win on Saturday, it's so crucial. You know, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think if it did happen, there would be a nice big crowd there to get amongst it and just continue the energy of the club.
Yeah. So with that, I'm going to say we're going to win, and we're going to win. It's going to be a close one, just given that the lists are pretty similar in terms of like experience and age. And I just think that all we can ask from them is to actually, you know, if they show us effort and they don't get the job done, that's fine. But if you rock up on Saturday and don't put in anything, that's when we're going to get upset. And I feel like that if we get the win, it puts us in good stead because it's only a 10-round season, don't forget. So wins are crucial if you want to make finals very early on.
Like, there's no time around.
No. We've started.
We can't do what we did in the season, that's for sure.
No, we start seasons. The last few seasons we've started pretty bad and then come home with a wet sail. We can't afford to do that. Like round one, you win round one, you galvanize yourselves. You get you're all together and you're ready to go. So, yeah, my prediction is we'll win, but it'll be 10 points or under.
And like I said, I am being the hopeful supporter that I was last season. I'm going to say my predictions every week with a smile on my face. I'm going to give them hope every week. But like, I think I'm going to stick with what I said last show, and I think that's going to be my motto all year, is that it's so much more about the storyline of the game this season than it is the final score. So, yes, a win is crucial, and it will be really, really helpful in, you know, hooking in supporters on such a big day for the club. But like I said last week, it's more about the storyline and how they go out there and play, and just the brand of footy that we're willing to play with. I think that's what's most crucial about this game.
Yeah, and I think that the proof will be in the pudding come 1 o'clock Saturday. So with that, I think it's time we call it a night. So we can get to our very exciting preview or premiere of a video in about 5 minutes time. Terry, you mentioned it earlier. But thank you both for joining me once again. Icon Park looks absolutely beautiful behind me. And what a way.
It'll look even better when it's filled with fans on Saturday. So
that's exactly right. But no, I want to thank you both once again for joining us for episode 2. Or episode 27, I should say, of the BAW show. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you both on the weekend. I'll be here. I'll have the little one with me. She's currently at my feet at the moment. She likes to make an appearance no matter where we are. So, but no, thank you once again, everyone, for joining us. If you do miss the show, you can catch us on Spotify probably tomorrow morning. Thank you again to the Cheer Squad for sponsoring us. Any last words, guys?
Yes, just a few things. Yeah, firstly, thank you to the Cheer Squad for getting on board. Secondly, in 4 minutes at 6:50, I've got a training highlights video. So we got to go to training last week and film them train. So like, check it out. Like, I mean, it's a really unique behind the scenes look at what they're actually doing at training, and you'll probably start to see the way they're going to play as well. So that starts at 6:50, and then at 7 p.m. is the finals preview. So stick around. Plenty to come.
It's a very exciting time to be on Blue Abroad right now. Finals content, the start of the AFLW season. You will never, ever, ever run out of content to watch. So
no.
No.
No. And I believe the Almost Blues Brothers will be on again Sunday night. Jumper Punch. There's so much content on this channel. It's fantastic. Everyone is fantastic. We got the besties. I think they're this morning. But no, we appreciate everyone that's jumped into the comments tonight. Thank you so much. I'm going to go check on the banner now to make sure it's looking schmick for the weekend. Everyone's busily working downstairs. But thank you both once again, and I'll see you on the weekend.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Thanks, everyone.